Vamos a estar en Proverbios 20 ahora y vamos a estar en dos versículos, 6 y 7 nomás. Okay, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 20 and we're only going to be in two verses today. That's as far as the Lord would let me go today. And so we're going to study verses 6 and 7. Vamos a estudiar los versículos 6 y 7 de Proverbios 20. Una de las cosas que todos necesitamos aprender es cómo caminar en integridad. All of us need to learn how to walk in integrity. And a lot isn't spoken about integrity. So I want to give you a little study that the Lord gave me today in these two verses to kind of teach us how to walk in integrity. Aquí tenemos una enseñanza muy bonita que el Señor nos ha dado donde nos enseña cómo caminar en integridad. Okay? So vamos a los dos versículos y vamos a comenzar ahora el estudio de hoy. Okay, let's start today's teaching. It says in verses 6 to 7, many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. Muchos hombres proclaman su propia lealtad, pero un hombre digno de confianza, ¿quién lo hallará? El justo anda en su integridad. ¿Cuán dichosos son sus hijos después de él? The first point I want to give you is that if you want to walk in integrity, you've got to always walk in a Christ-like testimony. Okay? In a Christ-like testimony. Si vas a querer caminar en integridad, siempre tienes que caminar con un testimonio cristocéntrico. Okay? Y una de las cosas que vas a aprender es que vas a bendecir no solamente tu vida, pero a la vida de tu familia. When you walk in integrity, I want you to understand, not only are you blessed, right, but you'll bless your family, the generations to come as well. It says here, many a man proclaims his loyalty. Notice that. Muchos hombres proclaman su propia lealtad. But who finds a trustworthy man? Pero quién, pero un hombre digno de confianza, ¿quién lo hallará? See, there's a lot of people that like to proclaim their goodness. They say, man, I'm a good person. And so they'll tell you that over and over again, okay, if you believe it, right? But the Bible says there's not one good, right? Not one righteous. Hay mucha gente que le encanta decir, soy buena persona, ¿verdad? Y te lo dicen y te lo dicen. Y digo, está bien que lo dices, pero la Biblia dice que no hay ningún bueno, ningún justo, ¿verdad? Entonces, una de las cosas que muchas veces la gente en sus propios ojos sí se miran buenos, ¿verdad? Pero no son, de acuerdo a las Escrituras. See, many people see themselves in Scripture, right? And they think, man, I'm a good person in my own eyes, but not compared to the Lord. And this is where we make the mistake. We don't compare ourselves to His holiness, to who He is. Because once you do, you realize your shortcomings, your failures, your sin. And so this is one of the things that integrity has to deal with. We have to understand it's based on God and His Word. And when we walk in integrity, it's His integrity we're trying to imitate. When we walk as Christians, como caminamos nosotros como cristianos, cuando caminamos en integridad, no podemos tener nuestra integridad aparte del Señor. Tenemos que ser personas que caminan en la integridad de Él y su palabra, lo que Él nos dice, ¿verdad? Pero hay muchos que les encanta ponerle crema a sus tacos, ¿verdad? Y el Señor dice, no podemos hacer así. One of the things is a lot of people like to boast about themselves. But one of the things that we have to understand, we are not good apart from God. No somos buenos apartados del Señor. Y dice aquí, ¿verdad?, que muchos quieren dejarle saber a las personas que son buenos. Y luego nos pregunta, ¿dónde se encuentra un hombre fiel? Right, then when people want to be that way, that's why Scripture here says, who can find a trustworthy man? Right, apart from the Lord, you can't. Tienes que encontrar a una persona leal, ¿verdad? Y buena, solamente basado en las Escrituras. Entonces, en el día de hoy, la fidelidad verdadera, ¿verdad?, no se promueve sola. Okay, one of the things I want you to learn about being full of integrity, truth faithfulness doesn't have to promote itself. You don't have to brag about who you are in Christ. No tienes que tú estar promoviéndote tú solo diciendo que soy bueno. El Señor lo hace por ti cuando lo glorificas. See, and one of the things that will happen with integrity, God will exalt you in time, but because you're glorifying Him, not yourself. That's not the way the world thinks, does it? The way of the world says promote yourself. Get yourself up on a high pedestal. God says the lower you are, right, the greater I become. And this is one of the things we have to learn about integrity. Integrity has to do with us glorifying God. La integridad nos enseña a glorificar al Señor, ¿verdad? Vamos a 2 Timoteo 1, versículos 8 al 10. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. See, quiet satisfaction and bringing glory to God is what He desires. Nosotros queremos tener satisfacción quieta y ser fieles al Señor. Y eso es lo que quiere Dios. Si vamos a ser fieles, vamos a ser fieles para Él. Mire lo que escribió Pablo en esta epístola. Look at what Paul wrote in this epistle. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me as His prisoner, Paul said. But join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Right? And so we have the gospel now to reveal who we are as we walk with Christ, but we do it in a way where all the credit goes to Him and not to us. Integrity doesn't boast in itself. If it's truly from God's word, it exalts the Lord. And this is what we're learning. Por tanto, no te avergüences del testimonio de nuestro Señor, ni de mí, prisionero suyo, sino participa conmigo en las aflicciones por el Evangelio, según el poder de Dios, quien nos ha salvado y nos ha llamado con un llamamiento santo, no según nuestras obras, sino según su propósito y según la gracia que nos fue dada en Cristo Jesús desde la eternidad, y que ahora ha sido manifestada por la aparición de nuestro Salvador Cristo Jesús, quien abolió la muerte y sacó a luz la vida y la inmortalidad por medio del Evangelio. Todo lo que hacemos para el Señor está basado en el Evangelio. Cuando Él vino, se reveló como la palabra. Y entonces nos dejó la palabra para poder caminar en integridad, para glorificarlo. Y dice que se nos ha dado este privilegio desde antes de las fundaciones del mundo. See, we have been blessed to be able to be people who walk in integrity, and He formed all these principles before the foundations of the earth were made, right? And so, if you want to glorify God and you want to walk in His will, you have to maintain a Christ-like testimony. Tienes que caminar en un testimonio cristocéntrico. Everything you do is to point people to Christ, right? And you learn that discipline as you go on. Okay, so always walk in a Christ-like testimony. In other words, that you want to honor God and His precepts, His word, and you want to point people to Him. That's it. Camina en el Señor, vive tu vida basada en los preceptos bíblicos de su palabra, y luego punta gente a Él. Ok, ese es el primer punto. El segundo punto, mírate cercamente, ¿verdad?, en el espejo de la palabra de Dios. Ok, second point, look at yourself in the mirror of God's word, because that's who you're going to see who you really are. Cuando tú te miras en el espejo de la palabra, vas a ver quién eres realmente, ¿verdad? Una de las cosas que allí en el espejo, la palabra revela todo. Remember that the mirror of God's word reveals everything about you. You guys have gone up to mirrors, right? And ladies especially, you get those fancy mirrors that point out all the little imperfections, you know, and you're trying to get your makeup just right and all that. You know, those things reveal everything about your face, right? What's there? Well, the scriptures reveal what's inside you. So when you see the reflection, either you're looking at a reflection of the Lord as far as doing and walking in integrity, or you're not. But if you are walking in integrity, your reflection is one that is Christ-like. In other words, it's going to reveal Jesus in your life. That's what mirrors do. They expose, right, what's in front of them. Los espejos exponen a lo que está enfrente de uno. Entonces, en lo espiritual, es lo que nos dice el Señor. Mira, basa tu vida en integridad, pero básala en el espejo de la palabra. Porque el espejo del Señor nunca miente. ¿Cuántos dicen amén? Dice la verdad. You know, the mirror of the Lord always tells the truth. And it will never change. It will never be distorted. It will reveal exactly who you are. And the Bible tells us, don't ever forget that revelation that's brought before you, because if you go away from the mirror and forget who you are, right, then nothing good comes from it, because the mirror is exposing your imperfections for you to change. El espejo está sacando a luz tus imperfecciones, ¿verdad? Para cambiar tu vida o cambiar tu cara si es maquillaje, ¿verdad? Que te vas a poner. Pero una de las cosas que la palabra es muy cierta, donde nos enseña cómo caminar en ese espejo del espíritu, right? The spiritual mirror that God places before us in His Word reflects exactly who we are. Okay, now, don't underrate the integrity that you should be walking in, because integrity is something we should strive for. La integridad es algo que debemos de seguir nosotros y buscar desde, ¿verdad? Atrás de esa integridad, ¿verdad? Muchos de nosotros no sabemos ni lo que significa la integridad. There's a lot of people that don't even know what the meaning of integrity is, much less to have a commitment to it. Hay mucha gente que no sabe, ¿verdad? Y no conoce el compromiso que tiene que ser también en la integridad. Pero es una palabra muy rica y tiene significancia en su definición. Right? It's a very beautiful word. And it's got a lot of significance in its interpretation. Okay, so what does integrity mean? Webster defines it this way. An unimpaired condition or soundness, adherence to a code of moral values. El diccionario Webster lo define así. Una condición imparada o sin sonido y se detiene al código de los valores morales de alguien. Webster says the quality of state of being complete and undivided. Es la calidad del estado de estar completo y sin división, dice el diccionario. It also says see honesty. Y luego dice abajo, busquen la honestidad. So integrity basically means soundness, completeness, and honest. La integridad quiere decir, ¿verdad? Estar firmes, completos y honestos. Now, why should we as believers be concerned about walking in integrity? ¿Por qué como creyentes nosotros debemos estar concernidos en caminar en integridad? Let me tell you why. When we walk in integrity, we become doers of the word, not just hearers. Cuando caminamos en integridad de la palabra, nos hacemos hacedores de la palabra, no solamente oyedores, ¿verdad? Vamos a Santiago 1, versículos 22 al 25. Let's go to James 1, verses 22 to 25. But prove yourselves to be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Dice la palabra ser hacedores en Santiago 1, 22 al 25. Ser hacedores de la palabra y no solamente oyedores que se engañan a sí mismos. Porque si alguno es oyedor de la palabra y no hacedor, es semejante a un hombre que mira su rostro natural en un espejo, pues después de mirarse a sí mismo e irse, inmediatamente se olvida de qué clase de persona es. Pero el que mira atentamente a la ley perfecta, la ley de la libertad, y permanece en ella, no habiéndose vuelto un oyedor olvidándose o olvidizo, sino un hacedor eficaz, este será bienaventurado en lo que hace. ¿Sobre qué nos enseña la palabra aquí? Sin la aplicación de la palabra de Dios, no puede haber una transformación espiritual. See, the reason it's important to always remember the reflection in the mirror of God as you study the word is there can be no transformation without the application of God's word in your life. You cannot become that born again creature without having that new word in you. You ever wonder why a lot of people lack the power of God in their walk? Because they lack integrity to discipline themselves to study the word of God so that the word of God transforms them. Hay una disciplina en veces que la gente no tiene para estudiar la palabra, y lo que pasa es que se hacen nomás oidores de la palabra y no la aplican, y entonces nunca pueden ser transformados interiormente. Son tan débiles espirituales, ¿verdad? Espiritualmente. So, one of the things that when people are weak spiritually, it's because they don't apply the scriptures to their life. And this is one of the things that the Bible teaches us. In order to grow and mature into God's image, we have to make sure we apply the Word of God and not forget, every time we come before the spiritual mirror of God, that it's examining us, teaching us where we have to change, so that we apply the scriptures so that we can become more and more like Him. That's the challenge of the believer, to apply that Word. See, if we don't, we forget who that reflection, right, was shown to us, that reflection that we truly are, and we do nothing about it. So we just move and we go on about our day without applying the truth of Scripture. You and I have to become more and more like Him. And the only way is by when we study the Word, we go into the mirror where God reflects the lesson that He's giving us, then He does the surgery He's supposed to do, and we remove those imperfections, and we go on and keep moving on every day. The Word of God is cutting us if we really are sensitive to the Spirit's call. Cada día nos está cortando la palabra. Si a ver hacemos nosotros, ¿verdad?, disciplinados en buscar al Señor. Entre más lo buscamos, más vamos a ser como Él. Pero si no aplicamos la palabra, es una mentira lo que vemos, ¿verdad? Nunca lo corregimos. See, and if we don't take the Word seriously in studying it, we look at the reflection and we do nothing about it. So it does bring nothing good just reading the Word. Reading it is good, but the application part is what changes you. Leyendo la palabra está bueno, pero lo que nos cambia el corazón a nosotros es la realidad de la palabra de Dios. Amén. So nunca se los olvide. Si vamos a caminar en integridad, tenemos que caminar con un testimonio cristocéntrico. Tenemos que examinarnos, ¿verdad?, en el espejo de la palabra de Dios. Remember, first two points, always walk in a Christ-like testimony and always look at yourself in the mirror of God's Word. Those two things, examine yourself daily. Okay, and then the third point I want to give you, the benefits of integrity. There's a lot of benefits that we get when we walk with integrity. And if you notice, we'll read verse 7 of Proverbs 20. It says, a righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. Dice aquí en el versículo 7, ¿verdad? El justo anda en su integridad, cuán dichosos son sus hijos después de él. When you walk in integrity, it's going to affect your family and the generations to come. Cuando tú caminas en integridad, ¿verdad? Vas a afectar a tu familia muy preciosamente. Y quiero que pongan atención a esto porque es importante. Les voy a dar beneficios que vienen cuando usted busca la integridad. Cuando nosotros buscamos la integridad. Okay, there's benefits that come as we seek after the integrity of God. Benefit number one. Beneficio número uno. Bendice a tu familia. Okay? Integrity blesses your family. Well, that's the first benefit. According to our text, remember, if we want our children to do well in life, we need to be those who walk in integrity. De acuerdo a las escrituras aquí, ¿verdad? Si queremos que nuestros hijos tengan buena vida, también nosotros tenemos que caminar en esa integridad. Si tú quieres que tus niños, tus hijos, tus hijas, tus nietos y nietas crezcan bendecidos, prósperos, ¿verdad? Contentos, tienes que caminar en integridad. This is one of the things that I want you to really grasp. If you want your kids to grow up, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, remember, if you want them blessed, prosperous, happy, you have to walk in integrity in order to receive those blessings. Doesn't guarantee your kids are going to follow your ways, but you're setting the path for blessing for them. Estás poniendo tú la senda para que sean bendecidos. So, how we live our lives directly affects our children. How many of you believe that? ¿Cómo vivimos nuestras vidas directamente afectan a nuestros hijos y hijas, verdad? Es muy verdad. Therefore, if you're lacking integrity, your kids will miss out on certain blessings that God has ordained for you to give them. Si te falta integridad, tus hijos van a faltar y les va a faltar, verdad, bendiciones que quizás les podías dar a tus hijos. Okay? Ahora, una de las cosas que nosotros cuando estudiamos la palabra tenemos que entender que hay beneficios que vienen cuando se lo damos a nuestros hijos. Let's go to Proverbs 1:8. Vamos a Proverbios 1:8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. This is what Solomon said. Oye, hijo mío, la instrucción de tu padre, y no abandones las enseñanzas de tu madre. It's very true. Stick to the lessons of integrity that your parents have given you, and you as a child will also be blessed. Si tú detienes las instrucciones de tus padres, también ellos van a ser, tú vas a ser bendecido y bendecir tus hijos también, hijas. Okay, the second blessing, benefit. Vamos a ver el segundo beneficio. Integrity provides guidance for your life. La integridad proporciona guianza para tu vida. Okay, and this is what I mean by this. There's so many of us that say, man, I don't have any direction. I don't know where I'm going. Have you ever had a young child or a young adult as a child, and they say, I don't know what God wants for me or for my life. I don't have any direction. Have you ever been given that as a parent? Of course you have. Your children are learning how to walk after God's purpose. But hay muchos hijos que también nos dicen, no tengo dirección en mi vida, no sé lo que Dios quiere para mí, ¿verdad? Y entonces te andan preguntando, ¿qué piensas que Dios quiere para mí? Y si tú estás caminando en la integridad, le puedes dar sugerencia. Pero lo que Dios quiere es que tu hijo vaya con él y le pregunte, Señor, ¿qué voy a hacer? See, when you're walking in integrity and you teach that to your child, your child's going to learn to go to God with those kinds of questions, so that God can refer them to Scripture so they can be guided as well. See, you can offer advice as much as you want, turn blue in the face as a parent, but that doesn't necessarily mean your children will take that advice. They have to learn how to go directly to God in order for them to learn God's guidance for their life. And all of us have those questions, right? What does God want from me now? Where am I going now? What am I going to do? So we have to go to the Lord and ask Him. See, and many times people don't have those answers to those questions because they lack integrity. Muchas veces la gente no tiene respuestas a esas preguntas porque les falta integridad. Amen. Entonces tenemos que tener cuidado. Remember, when you ask the Lord for direction and you're walking in integrity, God will grant you direction. One of the things, He will point you His way. Cuando te falta, ¿verdad? Saber dónde vas o en qué dirección quieres que el Señor te lleve, y estás preguntando en integridad, Dios te va a dar dirección porque estás caminando en su voluntad. The more we walk in God's will, the more we will receive directions for life. And this is what our young people have to learn. They have to establish that relationship, right? One of the things is that when we ask God many times, we're not asking sincere. Muchas de las veces no estamos preguntando en sinceridad. Many times we ask God, what do you want me to do? And then you wait, you hear from God, and then you don't like what He says, and you say, no, I'm going to pick and choose. I'm going to cherry pick what advice God gives me. We can't do that. If we're walking in integrity, you receive the instruction of God that's sound, and you listen to it, and you obey, and that's like what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say, right? He will direct your paths. He will give you the direction that you need. Una de las cosas que el Señor, entre más caminamos en integridad, más nos va a dar definición en su voluntad, lo que quiere que háganos para Él, ¿verdad? So, cuando usted se mete al trono de gracia, para poder caminar, ¿verdad?, con el Señor, tienes que vaciarte de todo de sí mismo y venir con el Señor y decirle, Señor, mi vacío para que me llenes. Y una de las cosas que quiero que me llenes, ese es tu propósito. ¿Qué quieres que yo haga? Porque mis deseos no cuentan contigo. Los echo afuera a un lado. See, one of the things we have to do is empty ourselves when we come before the throne room of grace. We'll learn how to walk more in integrity as we empty ourselves of our own desires, our own passions, our own things we want to do. And then we ask God to fill us with His will, His desires for our lives, and then He will start directing us the way we should go. So He'll open doors, He'll close doors. How many of you know that? Muchas veces te va a abrir puertas, muchas veces te las va a cerrar, pero cuando las cierra te está protegiendo. When God closes doors, remember, He is protecting you from making mistakes. And so many times we want to not listen and we still want to go through that closed door, and it's the worst thing we can do. We have to listen to God when He closes doors as much as when He opens them. ¿Qué? Las puertas cerradas también son respuesta de Dios. Si nos dice que no, es no, y nos está protegiendo a nosotros cuando vamos pasando por esas puertas. Pero si las abre, ¿verdad? Podemos entrar valientemente, pero si las cierra, también tenemos que esperar con paciencia para que nos dirija de nuevo otra vez. Okay, so he'll open scripture for you. If you are seeking him in integrity, for sure he will direct you according to his will. Si estás caminando en integridad, él te va a abrir las puertas en las escrituras para que lo sigas íntegremente. Okay? Benefit number three. Beneficio número tres. Integrity protects you from sin. La integridad te protege del pecado. Okay? Sin hurts you. El pecado te lastima, te destruye, te ruina, ¿verdad? Y te va afectando en un modo negativo. Remember that sin stinks, it destroys, it erodes, it ruins life. And most of all, it robs joy from you. El pecado te roba gozo que el Señor tenía para ti, acuérdate. So how can we be protected from that? ¿Cómo podemos hacer nosotros protegidos, verdad, del pecado? Pues uno de los modos es de caminar en la integridad. One of the ways of protection from sin is walking in integrity. Let's go to Genesis chapter 20. This is about Abraham and Sarah and how he lied to King Abimelech. Remember when he said that Sarah was his sister? Aquí vamos a mirar, ¿verdad?, cómo Abraham mintió, ¿verdad?, y le dijo al rey Abimelech que Sara era su hermana. Y a mero causaba que Abimelech pecara. Remember, he almost caused Abimelech to sin. And one of the things we saw is that Abimelech had more integrity at that time than Abraham. Abimelech tenía más integridad que Abraham. And God kept Abimelech from sinning with Sarah. Y Dios protegió, ¿verdad?, Abimelech de pecar contra Sara. Okay, let's read these verses. Now Abraham journeyed from there toward the land of Negev and settled between Kadesh and Shur, when he sojourned into Gerar. Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." So Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night and said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you've taken, for she is married." Now Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, will you slay a nation even though blameless? Did he not himself tell me she is my sister? And she herself said he is my brother." So who was also saying and participating in the lie? Sarah. "In the integrity of my heart," and notice what he said, Abimelech, "in the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this." Then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know that in the integrity of your heart you have done this, and I also kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her, Sarah. Now therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not restore her, know that you are surely going to die, you and all who are yours." So Abimelech arose early in the morning, called all the servants, and told all these things in their hearing, and the men were greatly frightened. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be." And Abimelech said to Abraham, "Have you encountered that you have done this thing?" Abraham said, "Because I thought surely there is no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she actually is my sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came about when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, 'This is the kindness which you will show to me. Everywhere we go, say of me, here is my brother.' Abimelech then took sheep and oxen and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham and restored his wife Sarah to him. Abimelech said, "Behold, my land is before you. Settle wherever you please." One of the things that we see that Abraham started wrong, and in God's mercy, God restored it for right, you know. And so integrity is a very important part here that you see. All right? Rather than to tell Abimelech the truth, Abraham chose not to. And so he slid on integrity. Vamos al versículo 1 de Génesis 20 hasta el capítulo 15, versículo 15. Dice, y Abraham partió de allí hacia la tierra de Negev y se estableció entre Cades y Sur, estuvo por un tiempo en Gerar. Y Abraham dijo de Sara, su mujer, es mi hermana. Entonces Abimelech, rey de Gerar, envió y tomó a Sara. Pero Dios vino a Abimelech en un sueño de noche y le dijo, he aquí, eres hombre muerto por razón de la mujer que has tomado, pues está casada. Mas Abimelech no se había acercado a ella y dijo, Señor, ¿destruirás a una nación aunque sea inocente? No, me dijo él mismo, ¿es mi hermana? Y ella también dijo, ¿es mi hermano? En la integridad de mi corazón y con manos inocentes, yo he hecho esto. Entonces Dios le dijo en el sueño, si yo sé que en la integridad de su corazón ha hecho esto, y además yo te guardé de pecar contra mí, por eso no te dejé que la tocaras. Ahora pues, devuelve la mujer al marido, porque él es profeta, y orará por ti y vivirás. Mas si no la devuelves, sabe que de cierto morirás tú y todos los tuyos. Abimelech se levantó muy de mañana, llamó a todos sus siervos y relató todas estas cosas a oídos de ellos, y los hombres se atemorizaron en gran manera. Entonces Abimelech llamó a Abraham y le dijo, ¿qué nos has hecho y en qué he pecado contra ti para que hayas traído sobre mí y sobre mi reino un pecado tan grande? Y me has hecho cosas que no deben de hacer. Y Abimelech añadió a Abraham, ¿qué has hallado para que hayas hecho esto? Y Abraham respondió, porque me dije, sin duda no hay temor de Dios en este lugar, y me matarán por causa de mi mujer. Además, en realidad es mi hermana, hija de mi padre, pero no hija de mi madre, y vino a ser mi mujer. Y sucedió que cuando Dios me hizo salir errante de la casa de mi padre, yo le dije a ella, este es el favor que me harás. A cualquier lugar que vayamos dirás de mí, es mi hermano. Entonces Abimelech tomó ovejas y vacas, siervos y siervas, y se las dio a Abraham y devolvió a Sara, su mujer. Y dijo Abimelech, he aquí, mi tierra está delante de ti. Habita donde quieras. En su misericordia Dios lo volteó todo para bien. Pero una de las cosas que la integridad, acuérdense, nos proteja de no ser cosas así como Abraham, que comprometió su integridad. See, when we have integrity from the Lord, it protects us from temptations like the one Abraham fell to. In other words, you're going to be put on spot sometimes as a Christian. But integrity will keep you from compromising. And this is very important. Because if you don't stand up for what you believe in, if you don't believe in something, especially in the Word of God, Satan will tempt you to compromise it. And this is why we're having a lot of the problems in the church. Because Word is being compromised. And because it's compromised, there's no one standing up for the truth now. That really in the majority of places, people are compromising God's truth. And so one of the things is that the world is bombarding us with their lies, and many lies are getting into the church. Aquí en el mundo está entrando mucha mentira ya en la iglesia. Y tenemos que no comprometer la palabra de Dios. Tenemos que estar firmes, ¿verdad? Una de las cosas, acuérdense, el enemigo todo el tiempo anda buscando cómo esclavizarnos. Remember that Satan is always trying to enslave us. And one of the best ways he enslaves a Christian or a believer is when we compromise what God told us to do, what is written in his word. Una de las cosas que comprometemos, ¿verdad? A veces cosas que Dios nos dice que no, y el diablo no descansa, todo el tiempo anda buscando en modos que nos puede hacer caer. La integridad te protege, ¿verdad? De esas tentaciones que todo el tiempo nos pega el enemigo con. Remember, we're going to be bombarded with tremendous temptations, but the thing that keeps us in lies is the integrity for God's word, okay, and His spirit. See, it'll help diffuse carnal intentions and all these other things that Satan hits us with. Va a querer, ¿verdad? La palabra lo que hace, nos quita las intenciones carnales y nos mete otra vez en el espíritu para no caer esclavizados. See, when we fall to sin is when we become enslaved by it. Cuando caemos en el pecado es cuando caemos y somos esclavizados por el pecado. Dios quiere prevenir eso. Okay? So that's our third benefit. Walking in integrity protects you from sin, right? El tercer beneficio, caminando en integridad te protege del pecado. And then the fourth benefit. Integrity provides mental stability for you. La integridad proporciona estabilidad mental, ¿verdad? So let's go to James chapter 1, verse 8. Vamos a Santiago 1, versículo 8. James tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Santiago nos dice que un hombre inestable, ¿verdad?, de doble sentido, es todo el tiempo porque le falta la sabiduría de Dios. Y es inestable en todos sus caminos. Siendo hombre de doble ánimo, inestable en todos sus caminos. Okay, James 1:8. Let's go back to the English. Being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, right? So, if you're not determined to walk in a way that honors God, if you're not determined to walk in integrity with God, you're always going to be wavering in your Christian walk. En tu caminar cristiano, si tú no determinas, quiero ser un hombre de integridad o una persona de integridad, lo que va a pasar, todo el tiempo vas a titubear en tu caminar. Vas a estar caliente con Dios un tiempo y luego frío el otro, right? When you walk with God, you're going to be hot one day, then you're going to be cold the next. And so there's always this variance of temperature in your Christian walk that God doesn't want you to be walking, okay? So, one of the things, you have to be determined to walk in the right direction. Tienes que estar determinado para caminar en la dirección correcta, okay? Now, what happens when we're unstable? Well, we're not sure what we believe in. Cuando estamos inestables, ¿qué es el problema? ¿Por qué no nos deja caminar firmes? Porque no sabemos lo que creemos. Estamos dudando. O no estamos ciertos de los temas de la vida que creemos en. We're also not sure of the themes of life that we believe in. If we believe in Scripture, it's either all true or not. Si creemos en la Escritura, ¿es toda verdadera o no? Pero no podemos estar escogiendo también la palabra. Cherry picking the Word of God. We cannot pick and choose. We have to determine, okay, I am going to walk with God as a person of integrity. Tengo que determinar, tengo que tener un solo sentido. Quiero caminar con Dios en integridad. Okay, so if your standards are varying, your walk with Christ will vary. Si tus estandartes están variados, también tu caminar con el Señor va a ser variado. You'll be like the waves of the sea, like James says, tossed to and fro, right? Vas a ser como las olas del mar que te llevan una dirección y luego la otra, ¿verdad? Nunca estás estable en tu caminar. What you need to determine as you walk with God is, am I going to build on the sure foundation of Christ? Si voy a caminar con Dios, voy a estar determinado de edificar en la fundación segura. See, it's very, very close to what we have to be doing in order to maintain steadfastness in our walk. Si nosotros queremos estar nosotros consistentes en cómo caminamos, la fundación tiene que estar segura. Our foundation must be secure. And who is our foundation? Jesus Christ and His Word. If we build our lives on His Word, when the storms of life come, when the seas, the waves come, they will not knock us off course because we will be single-minded, steadfast, believing and trusting in the direction that God says to go. El Señor nos enseña cómo caminar, ¿verdad?, en una dirección, y eso es hacia el corazón del Señor. Vienen las olas, vienen el mar, nuestra fundación no se va a hundir porque creemos en el Señor. Y eso es lo bonito, ¿verdad? Sí, but that's a decision each Christian has to make. Es una decisión que cada hijo e hija del Señor tiene que ser. Cuando no te agarras serio con el Señor, no vas a tener estabilidad mental. When you don't grab yourself steadfastly with God, you're never going to have stability of mind with God. You're always going to be wavering. One day I'm going to be walking with God, another day I'm not. And then that's when the problems happen, because we struggle in our flesh, don't we? Luchamos en la carne, que no, para seguir. Porque el espíritu quiere, pero la carne nos quiere bajar. And in this constant battle, the flesh is always against the spirit is always against the flesh. We're always going to be struggling in our spiritual walk if we don't have Jesus as our foundation, because we're not going to be determined to go after the heart of God. This flesh wants to keep us from church and the things of God and do the things of God. So that constant struggle has to be placed on the Lord, and we have to make decisions based on the sure foundation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. El Señor Jesucristo es nuestra fundación. Y esta carne, ¿verdad?, todo el tiempo lucha contra el Espíritu. El Espíritu quiere, pero la carne está débil, y todo el tiempo andamos peleando en contra. Solo que nos enseña el Señor que tenemos que hacer la decisión de que vamos a seguir, venga lo que venga. Have you guys ever struggled just to come to a Bible study sometimes? And you're thinking, man, I can avoid it. I can do something else. The flesh wants to go its way. And the enemy says, you're late already. You got out of work late. Why go? You're going to miss. And so he tries to fight you with everything in the mind, right, to say you're not coming. And what you have to determine is a decision. You know what? It doesn't matter how I feel. God is worthy to be praised and adored, and I'm going to go. And you never regret coming. Once you do, God will always speak to you. Cuando vienes, ¿verdad?, andas cansado y andas la carne, ¿verdad?, queriendo bajar tu espíritu. Te dice, ya, ¿para qué vas? Vas tarde, vas a hacer esto, vas a hacer el otro. Y la carne anda trabajando para jalarte de disciplina en las cosas de Dios. Y cuando ya determinas tu decisión, te trae mental, estabilidad mental, y dices, ¿sabes qué? Voy a seguir al Señor. See, that's where integrity gives you mental stability. Because you determine, I'm going to be a person that goes after the heart of God. No matter what, if this flesh fights me, I'm still going to go. And you end up coming and you rejoice, because God always speaks to your heart. There's times we're tired, yes, physically. But this is where you kick in the spirit to say, you know what, even if I'm tired, I'm going to go worship my Lord. And one of the things that happens, awesome things begin to happen in your walk. But it's your decision, and you have to fight through it. Now, if we're going to be people of integrity, do you think God desires us to become those people? Of course. Si vamos a ser gente de desear, ¿verdad?, de ser gente de integridad, Dios lo desea, es su voluntad. And we benefit from that. Y hay beneficios porque venimos con el Señor. ¿Cómo caminamos en integridad? Pues primeramente en un solo sentido. Porque la palabra nos dice que la persona de doble sentido es inestable en todos sus caminos. And the first thing we do in order to be steadfast, to go after integrity, we have one mind, solid mind, and that is to not be unstable in all our ways, but to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? It's very important to do that. See, if we have those standards, si tenemos esos estandartes, vamos a ser más fuertes espiritualmente. We're going to be stronger spiritually when we have those standards. If you don't, you're going to be like the waves of the sea. One day I'll come worship, then I'll disappear, then I'll come another service, and so on and so on. What God wants you to be is disciplined. Every opportunity I get to congregate with my brothers and sisters, every opportunity I get to come before the Lord, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to come, no matter what. And you'll notice when you do, man, it just lifts you up. It's a wonderful thing. But don't be tossed to and fro by the wind. There's too many Christians doing that. And that's why we don't have leaders of quality in these last days that should be leading the people. And you know how Scripture says, beginning as of now, you should have been teachers already with the time you have in the Lord. But because you don't look after integrity, you won't become that leader until God says you're prepared, you're in the Word. So if you're going to be used with God mightily, you have to be a person of integrity. Si quieres que Dios te use, ¿verdad?, fuertemente, tienes que ser una persona de integridad. Okay? If not, you'll be confused all your life in your Christian walk. Si no sigues la integridad, vas a caminar en confusión toda tu vida. If you are solid in your walk and you desire integrity, your foundation is built for life. Si tú eres un cristiano que desea al Señor y que sea tu fundación, estás seguro por toda tu vida. ¿Cuántos lo creen? Nothing will happen to you on this side of earth or to eternity, because your foundation is set. And no one can rip that off from you. Tu fundación segura, nadie te lo puede robar. Ya cuando crees en el Señor y vas a seguir su integridad, ya estás cubierto. No solamente en esta vida, en la vida que viene. Y es algo hermoso, ¿verdad? Que un día, ¿verdad? Vamos a ver al Señor y va a valer toda la pena. Lo cansado que estemos, ¿verdad? El Señor comienza a levantarnos. So, are we going to be people who walk in integrity? That's a good question. La pregunta de nosotros es que si vamos a ser personas de integridad. God desires it and we benefit from it. Dios lo desea y nosotros bendecimos. Una de las personas en las escrituras que más nos enseñó cómo caminar en integridad era Job. One of the persons who taught us how to walk in integrity the most was Job. Remember how hard he got hit by Satan. Y acuérdense qué duro le pegó Satanás, pero nunca comprometió su integridad. Job never, ever compromised his integrity. Let's go to Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Vamos a Job capítulo 2, versículos 1 al 3. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came along with them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." In other words, a man of integrity. "And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause." Y sucedió que un día cuando los hijos de Dios vinieron a presentarse delante del Señor, vino también Satanás entre ellos para presentarse delante del Señor. Y el Señor dijo a Satanás, "¿De dónde vienes?" Entonces Satanás respondió al Señor y dijo, "De recorrer la tierra y de andar por ella." Y el Señor dijo a Satanás, "¿Te has fijado en mi siervo Job? Porque no hay otro como él sobre la tierra, hombre intachable, recto, temoroso de Dios y apartado del mal. Y él todavía conserva su integridad, aunque tú me incitaste contra él para que lo arruinara sin causa." Fíjense aquí, Satanás vino y le dijo al Señor, ¿verdad? "Si me dejas tratar con Job, yo te garantizo que te va a maldecir." One of the things that Satan said to the Lord, "If you deal Job to me and you let me have him, he will curse you after I'm done with him and he will turn his back on you." Él dice, te va a voltear la espalda. What happened with Job? His blessings, right, were affected. Physically, he was affected. His family taken from him. What happens to a person of integrity during those times? Have you ever noticed? They stay together. They don't fall apart to pieces. A person who trusts God, even though he's hit with riches and his family or whatever, just like Job, his blessings, he will always remember who his God is. And one of the things about God, he always gives good gifts to his children, even when tragedy hits. This is one of the things that you learn when you're a person of integrity. You don't question God and his motives. Cuando tú eres una persona de integridad, no vas a cuestionar los motivos de Dios. Así como Job, ¿verdad? Le quitó las riquezas, ¿verdad? Le quitó su familia, le quitó su salud, todas estas cosas. Y nunca comprometió su integridad. El Señor lo permitió que Satanás, ¿verdad?, tuviera los golpes contra él, pero fíjense, nunca maldijo al Señor, y eso es algo precioso. When his family was killed, his crops were wiped out, his house burned down, he still would not lose his integrity. Cuando a Job se le pegó, ¿verdad?, y le mataron a su familia, le quitaron su cosecha, ¿verdad?, su casa se quemó, todo, nunca perdió su integridad. Miren lo que pasó. Let's go to Job chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. Vamos a mirar lo que pasó, capítulo 2, versículos 4 al 9. Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to his face." So the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life. Don't kill him." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, notice this, "Do you still hold fast?" And what is the key word? Your integrity? Curse God and die. Respondió Satanás al Señor y le dijo, piel por piel, si todo lo que el hombre tiene darás por su vida. Sino en embargo, extiende ahora tu mano y toca su hueso y su carne, verás, si no te maldice en tu misma cara, le dice el Señor. Y el Señor le dijo a Satanás, he aquí, él está en tu mano, pero guarda su vida, no lo mates. Satanás salió de la presencia del Señor y hirió a Job con llagas malignas desde la planta de pie hasta la coronilla. Y Job tomó un tiesto para rascarse mientras estaba sentado entre las cenizas. Entonces su mujer le dijo, ¿aún conservas tu integridad? Maldice a Dios y muérete. Now notice this, right? He gets hit physically with these boils that itch. He grabs a pot, right? A piece of pottery, and he starts scratching himself in agony. Se comienza a rascar en agonía. Pero lo más duro, ¿verdad? Que nunca comprometió su integridad. Ni su esposa lo hizo quisiera eso. Imagine his wife seeing all the bad things that were happening to him. And he tells him, why don't you curse God and die? Compromise your integrity. And he wouldn't do it. As Christians, when we go through rough times, this is the last thing we're going to do if we're going to honor God. We will not question God. And we will not compromise our integrity by saying, you know what, I curse God because he doesn't love me. You always remember the cross, guys. You always remember what he did for you on the cross and shows his immaculate love for you, his perfect love. And you never question whatever happens. This is one of the things that integrity does. It stabilizes you as well. La integridad te estabilice también. Para que no andes titubeando. See, you don't go by every wave of the sea. You stay firm in who God is. Now, is it easy? No. Would I ever desire to go through what Job went through? No. But I do know one thing. If God allows that in my life, I have to trust him with it. And this is where the word of God becomes real. Nosotros tenemos la palabra para que nos enseñe, ¿verdad? Que tenemos que perseguir y seguir en integridad para poder honrar a nuestro Señor. En los tiempos buenos y en los malos, Él no cambia. See, in the good times and the bad times, God is still God. He never changes. There is no shadow of turning or variance in Him. He will always be the God who will give us the best. But that doesn't mean we're excluded from attacks of Satan. How many of you understand? Satan is just looking for us to go idle. Satan's always looking for us to drop our guard so he can hit us hard to make us deny the goodness of God in our life. Do not listen to the lies of the enemy. Nunca se crean de las mentiras del enemigo. Job never lost his integrity, and he went through much more than we did. Job nunca comprometió su integridad y pasó por mucho más que nosotros. Vamos a Job 27. Let's go to Job 27. Look at verses 2 to 6. And this is one of the things that Job learned. As God lives, who has taken away my right, and the Almighty who has embittered my soul. For as long as life is in me, and the breath of God is in my nostrils, my lips certainly will not speak unjustly, nor will my tongue mutter deceit. Far be it from me that I should declare you right. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. Again, steadfastness is in integrity. I hold fast my righteousness and will not let it go. My heart does not reproach any of my days. Isn't that amazing? I don't regret any of my days because I believe in the God who upholds me. As Christians, we go through tragedies. We go through very heavy times, but it does not change who God is. And this is what he's trying to teach us. Integrity goes through the storms of life. Integrity persists until persevering to the very end. And whether we are given healthy lives or not is not to be questioned. Because he does love us more than anybody else could. And don't ever forget that, because Satan hits us all the time. What wrong can happen again, right? What else is going to hit me? And then we start being vessels in Satan's hands that are listening to lies instead of the truth of God. If we walk in righteousness, if we walk in integrity, we are honoring God, and he will bless us for that his way, not ours. And even if it's going through tribulation, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. Amen. Vive Dios que ha quitado mi derecho y el Todopoderoso que ha amargado mi alma. Porque mientras haya vida en mí y el aliento de Dios esté en mis narices, mis labios ciertamente no hablarán injusticia, ni mi lengua proferiría engaño. Lejos está este de mí que os dé la razón hasta que muera. No abandonaré mi integridad. Fíjense. Me aferraré a mi justicia y no la soltará. Y mi corazón no reprocha ninguno de mis días. Qué bonito actitud tenía Job. Y saben que lo bonito es que nunca comprometía su fe. Venga lo que venga, yo sé el amor que me tiene mi Padre por mí. Y mi Padre Celestial me ama más que cualquier otra persona. ¿Saben por qué les digo esto? Porque el diablo viene y juega con tu mente, con tu corazón, y te hace pensar que Dios anda abandonándote. No, una de las cosas, estamos siendo probados también. Si de veras amamos a Dios en lo bueno y en lo malo. No es fácil, pero Dios te dará la gracia para seguir adelante. En los tiempos más duros es cuando Dios se hace más real en tu vida. See, Job said, I don't care what happens to me. I'm at that point in my life and in my integrity that I won't compromise this. I will not walk away from integrity. Yo no voy a dejar mi integridad. In other words, I'm committed to the course. Christian, are you committed to the course? Creyente, ¿estás comprometido al curso que Dios te ha dado? Te has puesto en la senda y dices, voy a seguir esta senda hasta que Él venga por mí. No voy a comprometer mis valores. I will not compromise my values. I will adhere to them. And I will keep God's standards no matter what. Y voy a guardar los estandartes de Dios, no le hace lo que venga. Aunque mi esposa me diga, maldice al Señor, no lo voy a hacer. If my wife or my husband say, why don't you curse God and die? I will never do that. Because I know in the God whom I have believed. Yo he creído al Dios de las Escrituras. No me pueden salir esas cosas de mi boca. I will not allow those things to come out of my mouth. And even if my possessions and my family are taken from me, I will never compromise my integrity. Y hasta mis posesiones, si se me quitan, ¿verdad? Y mi familia, nunca voy a comprometer mi integridad. No es fácil. Miren en Río Doso lo que pasó recientemente. Y hay mucho cristiano en eso, ¿eh? No nomás eran incrédulos, también hijos y hijas del Señor perdieron sus casas y todo. Pero la persona que cree en su Señor sabe que el Señor los va a cuidar en lo bueno y en lo malo. Él es Jesús. Él es el Dios Todopoderoso. If you notice, people in Rio Doso went through that. Christians and unbelievers alike. They lost their homes, many of them. Believers and unbelievers. But families who are up with the Lord never will curse God. They will say, as for me and my house, we'll keep going. And these wicked things that tend to want to come out of my mouth in those times will not be allowed, because I'm going to stick to the course of trusting God. And that is what we do as Christians. We trust God, always, so that we won't give room to the enemy. Right? I will not give up on my integrity. That's what we should do. Nunca vamos a rendir nuestra integridad. What kind of person is able to say those things? A committed Christian to integrity. ¿Cuál tipo de persona puede ser decir estas cosas? Una persona comprometida a la integridad. Look at Job 31, verses 1 through 6. Miren Job 31, 1 al 6. You have to make a covenant in your life. And you have to say, as for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. Tienes que hacer un pacto con tu vida y decir, yo y mi hogar seguiremos al Señor. Pactos con los ojos, pactos con los oídos. You have to make covenants with your ears, your eyes, all these things in order to be able to come through in victory. Because if not, you will fall. Satan's always throwing things at us to make us fall. Si no comprometemos nuestros ojos, oídos, bocas al Señor, even our mouths are dedicated to the Lord in a covenant, we will not have success against the enemy's ploys. Job 31, verses 1 through 6. Job 31, versículos 1 al 6. I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then can I gaze at a virgin? And what is the portion of God from above, or the heritage of the Almighty from on high? It is not calamity to the unjust. Is it not calamity to the unjust and disaster to those who work iniquity? Does he not see my ways and number all my steps? If I have walked with falsehood and my foot has hastened after deceit, let him weigh with me accurate scales and let God know my integrity. Isn't that true? Hice un pacto con mis ojos. ¿Cómo podía entonces mirar a una virgen? ¿Y cuál es la porción de Dios desde arriba o la heredad del Todopoderoso desde las alturas? ¿No es la calamidad para el injusto y el infortunio para los que obran iniquidad? ¿No ve él mis caminos y cuenta todos mis pasos? Si he caminado con la mentira y si mi pie se ha apresurado tras del engaño, que él me pese en la balanza de justicia y que Dios conozca mi integridad. Integrity, very important. See, at a certain point, Job made a covenant with God. And he said, I'm all yours. Hizo un pacto, Job, y dice, Señor, soy todo tuyo. Eso es lo que tenemos que hacer, ser pactos que dijimos, Señor, estoy todo entregado a ti. See, in order to belong to God, we have to submit our life to Him. And this is what Job decided. I make a pact, I make a covenant with you. I'm all yours. When he did that, something powerful made. That promise he made to God, that contract, that agreement with God meant something to him, and he kept it. Cuando él decidió ser comprometido al Señor, él hizo esa promesa, ese contrato, ese acuerdo, y lo guardó. And you know where it began from? In his heart. He proposed to say, that's it. Lord, I'm all yours. And that's where it began. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. En su corazón hizo toda esa decisión. Dice, la abundancia del corazón habla la boca. And he proposed in his heart to make those things. What I love about Job, it's not open for debate. It's a done deal. Si se fija, no hay duda, ¿verdad? En el corazón de Job, ya está hecho. Voy a seguir al Señor. That's it. I'm going to follow God. And that is what we need as Christians. We say, we will follow God no matter what happens. And then we keep going forward. Vamos a seguir a Dios y vamos a seguir adelante. No es una cuestión que está para considerar. It's not a question of consideration. It's already a done deal in my heart and in my life. I'm going to walk with God in a covenant where I will serve Him all the days of my life. Voy a seguir al Señor en un pacto que lo voy a servir todos los días de mi vida. That is the dynamic of integrity. Ese es lo dinámico de la integridad, ¿verdad? When you decide to live your life that way, God will provide everything you need, even the way out, when you're tempted. Cuando caminas con esa clase de integridad, Dios te va a suplir todo lo que necesitas y también la salida para que no peques. En su gracia y misericordia te va a abrir los ojos. And He will meet you at the place of decision. Él te va a encontrar ahí en el lugar de la decisión y te va a decir, estoy contigo, no te preocupes, sigue adelante, confiando en mí. Porque a veces nos arrandea el diablo, nos arrastra. Y nos hace pensar, ¿verdad?, lo peor, en vez de pensar qué bienaventurados estamos. How many times don't we get hit by the enemy and he makes us feel worthless? And you forget how blessed you are as a child of God. God will meet you at that point of decision. Dios se va a encontrar en ese momento de decisión. Now, hopefully none of us have drug problems here. But we all have weaknesses. Quizás nadie aquí tiene problemas con las drogas, la heroína, ¿verdad? O algo. Pero una de las cosas que les digo, ¿verdad? Tenemos debilidades. ¿Con qué batallamos más soltar? que comprometemos tu integridad. What do we struggle most with that compromises our integrity? Things we like to do. Cosas que nos gustan hacer. We have to make a covenant in our heart to say, I'm going to offer that up to God. And that's where we have the struggle. Eso es donde tenemos la lucha. Porque el diablo quiere que estemos en esas cosas que tenemos las debilidades en, porque ahí nos esclaviza. It's the moment we say, no more. I've come to the point where I know those things destroy me. I have to give them to you, Lord. And I don't want to love those things more than I love you, Lord. I surrender it to you. And when you do, there's victory spiritually. If you hold on to it, you're going to be hit by the enemy even more. But in whatever weakness you have, don't remember. Do not ever think that you're beyond help. God will always deliver you if you're sincere. Dios todo el tiempo te va a liberar en los tiempos que eres sincero o sincera. Surrender it to God. If he did it for Job, right? He did it for Abimelech. How much more will he not do for you as his child as well? He will give you the courage you need, the strength you need to keep your commitments with him. Él te va a dar la fuerza que tú necesitas para guardar esos compromisos con él. Integrity comes by trusting God in each of life's battles that we have. La integridad viene con confiando en Dios con cada batalla que tenemos de la vida. No se suelten del Señor y sigan adelante para no comprometer. Keep working forward so you will not compromise and God will always see you through. Amen. Let's stand up. Vamos a ponernos de pie. So always walk with a Christian-like testimony, a Christ-like testimony. Todo el tiempo caminen con un testimonio cristocéntrico. Always put God first in your walk. Todo el tiempo pon a Dios primero en tu caminar. Then look at yourself in the mirror of God's word. Continually examine yourself. Continuamente examínate cada día. En todas tus debilidades, cuando mires el espejo de la palabra, no se te olvide lo que Dios te dijo que hagas para que cambies. Examine yourself in that mirror of the word and then remember the imperfections that God exposed. Work on those to get those out of your life so that you continue to walk in integrity. And then lastly, the benefits. Remember all the good things integrity brings with it. Acuérdense en todas las cosas buenas que tiene la integridad con nosotros. It blesses our family. It gives us mental stability. It does all these great things where it gives us even stability in our foundation as we continue to walk with God. Acuérdense en la estabilidad que trae la integridad en su vida. Bendice a sus familias, a sus niños, las generaciones que vienen. No se suelten de Dios. Y acuérdense, les da estabilidad en su fundación, que es Cristo. Amén. Vamos a orar. Let's pray. I'd like the worship group to come up. Father, we thank you for your living word. And help us to be those people who walk in integrity, Lord. And that we honor you with our lives. Ayúdanos a ser esas personas, Señor, que van a caminar en integridad. Y recordarnos de personas en las Escrituras que no eran perfectos y que todavía derramaste tu misericordia y gracia sobre ellos. Father, help us to remember that we're not perfect, just like the people in Scripture were not. And that every time we look for you, you're going to be able to give us the mercy, the grace that we need to keep pressing forward until you come for us. So help us to continue to always trust you with what comes in our life and never doubt of your love for us. So that no matter what comes our way, we will never waver, Father, in trusting you and never compromising our integrity. Señor, ayúdanos nunca a comprometer nuestra integridad y todo el tiempo confiar en ti, no le hace lo que venga. Bendice a tu pueblo grandemente en esta tarde. Lord, bless your people in a mighty way today. And I give you, Lord, all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. Señor, te doy a ti toda la honra y toda la gloria. En el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén. Amén.